everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Our good buddy, Eric.
What's up?
And our favorite, of course, Clint is here.
Hey.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good. Can we go?
Very good.
I've seen better days.
I think Clinton and I are ready to kill somebody today, so we might end up sharing a jail cell later.
Well, that'll be nice.
Oh, you have one of those days? Oh, thank God. I'm the only one.
I'm with you, buddy. Side by side.
So yeah. But things are going good in the wrestling world?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, well, it depends on who you talk
Keith
to.
Lee.
Yeah.
Keith Lee, Wednesday night. Oh, I'm so happy.
Yep.
He has been hitting
he
a bit of the shakes lately, though.
So what? He's fat. Who cares?
It's okay.
Right?
I don't have a problem with it.
He can still move. He can. Keith Lee.
All right, so what? He put on a little LBs. All right, Kevin Owens was fat for the longest time,
and the only person that found that offensive was Jim Cornette, and everybody stuck up for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So,
Kevin Owens wore a shirt,
Plus, the man just got married. Leave him alone. Keith Lee just got married, y'all. That's the wedding week, the reception week.
Yeah, you can tell he enjoyed that honeymoon. He had the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
The lobster, the shrimp.
Well, and who cares? Let him enjoy himself. He just got married. He's signed to a new company now that hopefully will use him right.
I'm never going to hate on anybody for being fat. I'm just saying it's a news story. A lot of people are talking about it.
And unfortunately, like I've seen some of the stuff that people have posted on Facebook, including somebody that has been on our show before, but I think this person's opinions are absolute ass. I'm not going to mention his name. Even though, he would not help us out by giving us a giving us his picks for the countdown, so he can go fuck himself. But I'm not going to mention his name.
Sounds like Cousin Ed Jr. Cousin Ed Jr. Don't know who he is. I just call him Cousin Ed.
Cousin Ed.
Yeah. But anyway. Keith Lee coming in. I mean, you got all this, Lita. It's going to be Lita versus Becky Lynch at Elimination Chamber next Saturday.
That'll be good. I feel bad because with the women, it's hard to really go back to the well because there's so many there's only so many legendary women from before the women's revolution. Charlotte wrestled Trish. That was good. Becky and Lita kind of make sense.
Explain to me why did they cancel the Lita versus Charlotte. I was looking forward to that. You can't bump Lita.
No, I thought it was
going to
be that.
Ronda shows up.
I'll probably give you an exact reason why. Charlotte probably said, no, I'm not doing it.
She doesn't need to wrestle Lita, though, does she?
Yes, she does.
I mean, she had the moment already, though, with Trish. Let a different passing of the torch happen.
No. Lita calls Charlotte out. Don't care. Bull.
Oh, yeah, you want Lita
bull,
to beat
bull,
Trish.
Bull.
Right. I mean, there's
Lita to beat
Charlotte,
yeah.
I mean, tease her own. I mean, we're all...
It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I don't mind her and Becky, though, either.
No, her and Becky, I think, is going to be a good match.
Mainly because I like Becky better than Charlotte, but
I like Nia Jax better than Charlotte, and I hate Nia Jax. Let's see what else. Killer Cross is going, or Karrion Cross, as we know him, going back to MLW, or going to MLW.
Good for him.
Again, that's actually a place that'll use him right.
15 people
that's pretty much it as far as big news.
All right, well, let's get into it after we do the plugs, Doug.
Okay, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday Wednesday night, mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes, around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time, right after AEW. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Eric, are you still getting a severance check from them after they canned your ass?
I'm on whenever Smart can't go on. I'm the backup.
Whenever he's hungover?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Our boy's an alternate.
Yeah. Good for him. And then, of course, listen to them Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Hollywood Hangout. Mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout. Listen to us, if you've got nothing else better to do, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Obviously, tonight we're doing the Rock Ken Shamrock feud retrospective. Next Friday night, we are going to do a retrospective on the February 17th, 1997 episode of Monday Night Raw. 2 weeks from tonight is a big one, as we will be counting down the top 20 greatest wrestlers of all time. Of course, we have several polls up in Facebook groups such as Old School Wrestling, Wrestling in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Solid Monster Sounds Off. Plus, we have side polls and other different groups. Eric's got polls up on Twitter. And we're also trying to get people to send us their picks. You know, we're posting everything on our personal timeline. We've got more polls up than an election night. And basically, Eric and I are trying to do campaigning, trying to get teams that we like, of course, on the countdown. But also, of course, Eric and I have the had the same IQ as the characters from Dumb and Dumber, so we'll see how well that works. But Eric and I were actually going to star in a sequel to that movie, but they gave the roles back to Jeff Bridges and Jim Carrey. But, of course, for that episode, February 25th, where we count down the top 20 greatest tag teams of all time, of course, it'll be us. Kenny Lehman will be back joining us. Boxman from the Dirt Sheet Dudes will be here to join us as well. And probably just to make Eric feel better, we'll actually have Eric fire him from our show at the end of the episode.
I'm going to do that.
Pussy. All right. And then, of course, listen to us Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Unscripted Unlimited. Tomorrow, Daniel and I will be doing a retrospective on the Beverly Hills Cop trilogy. Of course, Eric will be stuck at work, so he will not be joining us. But that is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Sunday, something p.m. Eastern Time, either 1 or 3.
No.
Join Daniel and Mindy for the Scaredy Cats, and when somebody figures out what they're doing, I'm sure they'll tell you. And then next week sometime, join Clint and Eric for NFL Hard Hits. Join Clint and Eric for the Hard Hits as they will review the Super Bowl. And then, of course, check out our buddy Sean on YouTube, Elite Diplodoc, and on Twitch, Sneaky Fetty. If I forgot something, that means I probably don't like you. All right. Go ahead, man.
That means you fucking hate Sean because you forgot him for about a month now.
We've had a checkered past.
All right, guys. Shamrock and The Rock. This goes down as to me, when I think of top five Rock rivals, I think Ken Shamrock's definitely on the list alongside Foley and Austin and Triple H.
He was the first one to really help get Rock over him and Austin, but Austin was still recovering from the neck injury at the time, so he really couldn't get him over.
And Austin was kind of the one getting over anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. By the way, the reason why we're doing this is because today is actually Ken Shamrock's 58th birthday.
Happy birthday, Kenny.
So
happy birthday, Kenny Shamrock.
Yeah. So, Kenny, if you're listening to you, we're going to send you a cake, and we're going to have Eric jump out of it naked for you.
Oh, he'll never come on the show.
Not now.
Got that right.
Do you think we'll be better off if we send Clint?
Yeah. You ruined that, Ken.
All right, Clint, you're going to go in
we'll
the cake.
We'll just send you a set.
Send me?
I can't do it anymore. I ate too much of the cake last time, so... I'm not allowed to. I brought a fork in with me.
All right. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Ken Shamrock and The Rock. I think this goes down, and I don't know if it goes down as the greatest feud of all time, but it definitely goes down as a big pivotal moment, not only because this was like a hot era, because this is kind of not the beginning of the Attitude Era, but we're really getting in motion.
Yeah.
And 98, because this is early 98, right? Or late 98?
Early 98.
Early 98. And these two, they just seem like perfect rivals almost. It wasn't like you had The Rock and Austin where these are polar opposites. But they had a different dynamic. And the reason I enjoyed these matches, because you have The Rock, you have this cocky young heel who thinks he owns the world. The Nation's not really even about what The Nation kind of was, what they began anymore. They're just kind of Rock's goons now, which I was fine with that incarnation of The Nation. But Rock was really taking over. He beat Farouk's ass. He told Farouk to get the hell out. This was after that, right? Or was this right before?
This actually started before all that.
Okay.
They were starting to have problems.
But Rock was becoming the biggest member of The Nation.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. And Shamrock was just this unhinged, badass dude that everyone knew from the UFC. And this is the beginning of MMA in the UFC. So no one really knows what it is yet, but they know that these guys are brutally beating each other up. And this guy's called the world's most dangerous man. So, yeah. This guy is a bad dude, and he'll beat your ass. But you want to root for him against The Rock because this is like the anti-hero. I mean, the 90s and everything was real anti-hero. And you know, it's not about the good white meat baby face anymore. So Shamrock kind of fit into that. He's just kind of gritty, kind of like a savage type guy. He's not like a Hulk Hogan. He's going to beat your ass, and maybe the referee's after. But people like him.
Well, it depends on if the referees keep reversing the decisions now.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on this feud, Clintus? Like, just kind of diving back into it.
All right. I want to really bring up, I think this feud had this up and down, especially when I Intercontinental Championship. I loved it. For that Intercontinental Championship. And then you have to put on top of that the King of the Ring 98. Ken Shamrock winning the King of the Ring 98 was a great match of them all. I still say with King of the Ring 98 was one of my favorite views of all time.
I'm actually right there with you, Clint.
Yeah, because that was really the only time that Shamrock really went over, too, right?
The only time that he went over and the decision wasn't reversed.
Exactly.
Because I think you can think of it with an Intercontinental Championship. Ken Shamrock beat The Rock. But just because he refused to let go, it would be a reversed decision and get the title and let The Rock retain the title. Come on. Get out of here with that, man.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
If you think about it, and they did that screwy finish twice. Because Royal Rumble 98, he
won. Royal Rumble.
But because he got caught with the brass knucks, and Mike Chioda apparently thought Rock was telling the truth, they reversed the decision, and then they did the decision at WrestleMania. But you have to almost look at it from, okay, maybe they didn't want Shamrock to get beat clean. Because they knew what they were going to do with him. They knew they had something special with him. So, knew that you had something special in Rock. So, it's kind of a way to kind of keep both of them from taking the L.
See, I kind of loved it, though, because I feel like this is like screwy finish done right, right? Because we've seen so many fucky finishes, and it gets so old, and especially with how much wrestling recycles shit. We've seen it so many times. This is one of my favorites because Shamrock beats the shit out of everybody. And it's really, oh, my God, this guy is an unhinged, crazy dude. And you're still, like, cheering. Even though, like, he just lost the belt and things are going his way, you're like, fuck, yeah, kick his ass, Shamrock. You know, like, he's beating up everybody. He's, like, kicking ass and taking names. So, I, like, to me, that's one of my – I still love the match for that reason because it was just so good with the theatrics at the end. And Shamrock, he really – and it showed you how good of an actor he was because he really, like – It seemed like someone just like took the biggest win of his life away, and he was really upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, and he did that like it's very hard. Like, and this is one of the things I really didn't understand when I was a kid, is the fact that you know, like at WrestleMania, when they reversed the decision again because he wouldn't let go in the ankle lock.
Yeah,
and like they reversed the decision on him. It's just like, don't you fuckers know he's going to kill all of you?
Yeah.
It's just like, why reverse the decision? Just let him do what he wants. Let him break Rock's ankle. And then let him actually rip Rock's leg off and then shove it up his ass. And just leave him alone. Don't reverse the decision because he is going to murder you.
See, and I like that too. And I thought that was interesting because it really showed us his character too, because the first time he just got fucked over and he's pissed. I would have beat the shit out of everybody too. But the second time you really see this dude's a ruthless dude that's just going to keep going and going and going. And he's in there to kill Rock. He's not in there to win a title. He's in there to kill Rock. So I kind of like that too. And I thought that was an interesting play on the Shamrock character, because that's really what Shamrock is at the end of the day. When we think about him, he was that ruthless dude that's going to go in and fight till he can't fight anymore.
Yeah, he's a cage fighter.
Yeah.
All right.
And that was after he got hit by the chair.
He could have easily had a title reign in this era, a world title reign.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, and Eric just brought up the chair shot. All right, there was that angle where they did chair shot, like, I think it was a week and a half before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a shotgun going off.
When he cracked Ken?
Yeah. Right in the freaking, or right across the head.
Yeah, that was a nasty shot. They kept playing that in the replay.
And then he got hit in WrestleMania too, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I thought he got hit by a chair in WrestleMania.
Well, the match at WrestleMania was only like 4 minutes.
Okay. I swear he got hit by a chair there too. But
it's funny because when people talk about the Attitude Era, they usually talk about the belts not really meaning shit, and they were just props, and how Russo treated the belts. On this situation, I would have to disagree, because I still feel like the Intercontinental Championship meant a lot. And I feel like a lot of people were tuning in every week for this shit, too, not just for Austin. And Austin was killing it. Of course, he was the biggest draw. But then you're like, ooh, we got Shamrock versus The Rock. I'm going to stay.
Okay, so you have heading into WrestleMania, which – every match at WrestleMania, except for maybe the light heavyweight title match, kind of meant something, right?
And that was still an underrated, really good match.
I like the match myself, too, but... So, everything kind of meant something, and you knew big stars were going to be made, and you also knew Triple H was going to kill Owen Hart's career. You tuned into WrestleMania because obviously you wanted to see Austin and Michaels. Undertaker, Kane, and I really feel like Shamrock and The Rock was right behind that.
Yeah.
You know, up there with the Outlaws and Cactus and Chainsaw. And obviously Sable, because they wanted to know how Sable was going to do in the ring.
Yeah.
Nobody really cared about Triple H and Owen Hart, because you knew Triple H wasn't going to do the fucking job. But everything else, everybody cared about, because you knew stars were going to be made.
Yeah.
And The Rock and Shamrock, you know, Rock was becoming a made man. Shamrock was getting there too. It's just, the thing is that you had two guys who the company, I feel like at the time, didn't really want either one of them to take a clean loss.
No. Well, I mean, Rock's one of those guys, and Rock's always one of those guys, though, that can lose and it's fine. He's like a Ric Flair. Because if you look back on Rock's career, it's like looking back on Shawn Michaels' WrestleMania record. Like, he got his ass kicked a lot, and he took a lot of jobs.
I mean, he did the same thing almost at WrestleMania, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he lost a lot of WrestleMania, too. But if it wasn't for Shamrock and Mr. Foley, The Rock would have probably a negative record. He
right.
probably still has a negative record. But he didn't win a lot. he won the big matches, but, you know, a lot of the times he was, like, jobbing Austin or jobbing the Triple H or, you know. So he could have lost. And when he did lose at King of the Ring, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Which, again, I'll agree with Clint.
Was that the last match?
That was the last match, technically, in, like, their feud that they – I mean, they would have more matches, and, you know, later on in the year, but I think this was the match that really concluded the feud.
I think it was a proper, good, well-done payoff.
Yeah.
To a great feud.
And it was – the pay-per-view was tremendous. I'll agree with what Clint said earlier. But, like, at the end, too, like, Rock tapping out, and you have Jerry Lawler trying to say, I don't think Rock was tapping out. I think he was reaching for the ropes. And Jim Ross saying, don't ruin Shamrock's moment, you son of a bitch. Like, actually have – he goes, I know it's asking a lot, but have some decency. I mean, well, that's – having – asking – it's actually a lot to ask somebody who likes to pick up his dates from preschool to have decency. We'll just let that one go. Somebody else talk.
No, but I really... And there was matches outside of the feud. Like, you remember that triple threat match with Mankind?
In the cage, right?
Yeah. That was really good. That was really good. Mankind
what,
did a little
gimme
thing, like
yeah.
he always does.
Was that? I know it was in your. I wasn't sure. Was that like Degeneration X or?
Yeah, it was a breakdown, right?
Yeah, it was breakdown.
Okay.
Because that was the same night that it was Austin versus Undertaker and Kane for the title.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Rock and Shamrock is just one of those things, man. I could always watch a match between those two and enjoy it. Even when they would wrestle, like, later on, even though it didn't have the same meanings or anything. But it always, to me, it was a travesty they never did more with Shamrock. I mean, he made The Rock here. He really helped make – I mean, The Rock was already on his way, but The Rock, like, Shamrock won the payoff. Rock came out of this looking like $1 million.
He was still the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
And what was actually funny about that setup for King of the Ring, I think I'll even say that the two episodes of Raw leading up to King of the Ring, which would have been July 15th and June 15th, and June 22nd are two of the best episodes of Raw to ever lead up to pay-per-views. Because, you know, you had that one week where I think it was on the 15th. It was, I'm not sure if Shamrock qualified, or if that's the week that Shamrock qualified to get in the King of the Ring. But, like, you know, Rock was already kind of setting up. And then you had the June 22nd episode where, you know, you had the King of the Ring, it was King of the Ring, the first round of the King of the Ring, or the quarterfinal night.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was Rock versus, I mean, I get this lineup of matches. You had Ken Shamrock versus Mark Henry. You had Jeff Jarrett versus Mark Merrill. Dan Severn versus Owen Hart, and The Rock versus Triple H.
That's a stat card.
Okay. And that was just a quarterfinal round of King of the Ring. You would almost kind of feel like they are going to build up especially with who made it to the Final Four, you almost knew that it was going to build up to Rock and Shamrock.
Yeah.
Although I think some people were actually hoping for Shamrock and Severn.
Yeah, because of the rivalry they had in UFC.
Right, exactly. But, you know, Shamrock and Rock, you know, that was also a money feud back then. Because it was doing a lot for both guys' careers.
Yeah.
When did Shamrock turn heel and join McMahon?
He started the rivalry again in early October.
Which was ridiculous, by the way. That was one guy. If you're going to make him heel, don't put him in any sort of corporation.
Yeah, because then he joined the corporation the night after Survivor Series.
Because he was in that shitty union group, too, right?
Yeah, that was in, spring of 99. Oh, he was pretty much, he was pretty much toast. Any push of his was toast, by, you know, April, May of 99.
Yeah. Which sucks, because there was so much potential there. And you could have done this at WrestleMania for the main title a couple years later, you know?
Yeah.
These two could have been lifelong rivals, but it sucks that they weren't. But what we got while we had it was a really good, solid big card feud. One of the best.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is that, you know, Shamrock was inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Rock
congratulated him on that, right?
Yeah. So 2020, and they asked Shamrock. They said, pick three people that you want, because they couldn't do like the actual, because, you know, we were still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, we can't actually have them there, but reach out to three people, see if they'll send you a video. He reached out to Rock, Mick Foley, and Bret Hart. And each one of them said, yeah. And each one of them sent a video.
Right.
That's the biggest appearances Impact's ever had.
Yeah. Well, the only reason why they were able to get away with having those three is because, you know, Bret does what he wants. And the other two...
I mean, Mickey's under contract.
Huh?
Is Mick under contract with WWE? Legends?
He might still be under the Legends deal. I'm not sure. But, like, those...
And
the
Rock doesn't have a deal.
I don't know if he has a deal or not, but, like, WWE is pretty sure that, like, whenever they call, he'll come.
Okay.
I think both.
Yeah, I mean, Rock's obviously a big ally to WWE. He loves them. And
right.
It's not like he's going to do anything for anybody. He supports everybody. But.
Yeah, and again, it was a video tribute, which they did not mind.
I think Vince is going to love Rock forever for buying that fucking XFL from him.
Yeah.
I think he forever has a seat at the table because of that.
But yeah, like... I had a train of thought here, but
yeah, I mean, what else are we going to get into? I mean, these guys had some really great legendary matches.
Well, if you think about it, they started kind of the whole thing at the Survivor Series 97, which nobody really remembers because, you know, some kind of this thing that they call the Montreal.
Someone
Scrooge.
Got screwed.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody got screwed.
I think it was Hebner.
No, it was Patterson in the back with one of the boys.
Fucked up.
Yeah, him and Kerrigan were close. But yeah, like there was a 4-on-4 match there. Obviously, then Shamrock got the title shot against Shawn Michaels the next night. But then, like, the next few pay-per-views, it was always Shamrock versus Rock.
Yeah.
you know, January, February, March, and then April.
And people kept paying to see it.
Yeah. Well, because they did different adaptations. It wasn't always just a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in May, you know, Shamrock was still recovering from the broken ankle, and they had Rock wrestle Farouk. And then, of course, they had King of the Ring. But, yeah, no, these two guys, it was a good startup feud for the Rock character.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he really got to hone his personality during this.
Yeah.
And really show off those mic skills. And this was kind of the beginning and where we got to see those mic skills. And he was really, I mean, he was honing his own as an athlete in the ring too, but, you know, and the ring Rock only really evolved to a certain point, and that's fine. That's all he really needed to do. But microphone-wise, this is what he was becoming, the Rock.
Right, exactly.
And he was just shredding everybody, including Shamrock. And he was just such a good heel. Like, that chair shot, I forgot about that chair shot to the head. Like, that was, like, a big moment. And he was such a scumbag back then, and I loved it.
Yeah. And Shamrock, I loved it when Shamrock would go nuts, though.
Eric, what were your thoughts on this feud?
I liked it. I thought it was a good secondary for the secondary title. It's probably one of the best I see title rivalries in the 90s. At least the Attitude Era.
In the Attitude Era, yeah.
Because it meant something. The title meant something,
because,
as you said earlier.
Right, exactly, because there was a feud. They did not like each other. They wanted to hurt one another.
Yeah, there was just something cool about, like, we all know the guy in school that talks shit to everybody, and then he talks shit to the wrong guy. And that wrong guy could literally beat the shit out of him, but the guy that talks shit has a whole group of friends and buddies, and he always has a way to pull one out and, you know, get the better of the other guy. You know, we all know that sort of situation, so it's kind of cool seeing it, to play it out on TV like that.
He's speaking from experience, are we?
Maybe. Let's say which side I'm on, but...
Oh, trust me, those that know you best know what side you were on.
You got that right.
But it was a tremendous feud. These two guys had some of the best chemistry I've ever seen.
And the fact that they were able to bring other people into this, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously Rock had the Nation. And then, you know, Shamrock, he was kind of aligned, you know, the Ahmed Johnson, until WWE finally smartened up and realized he sucked and got rid of him. DOA was helping out for a little bit. And then,
are you saying the Ahmed Johnson thing was a bad idea? Is that just...
What do you mean by that, Clintus?
With the whole Ahmed Johnson, with the, are you trying to say around that time that he should never have been?
No, I mean, Ahmed Johnson, the curious case of Ahmed Johnson, is one of the greatest look that a wrestler's ever had in that period. Great look. I mean, couldn't understand him too much on the microphone, but like the lingo, I dug it. I loved the promos. I thought, overall, the character, I thought Ahmed was a hit. But like, you know, good old Bruce Pritchard says, then the bell had to ring, unfortunately. And whenever that bell rang, all Ahmed knew how to do was hurt anybody or wrestle not well. So that's my only gripe with him. He sucked in the ring. But as far as like the – I thought he was a great idea. And if he could have went a little more in the ring, he could have been a world champion.
Yeah.
Because he had an amazing look. He could have been a superstar.
Right. And also, too, so, like, you know, after those guys were helped out, then they brought in Blackman, and then they aligned Farouk with Shamrock.
Yeah.
So you were able to get all these guys, and then, you know, Severn obviously got involved. You were able to get all these guys kind of intertwined. Because, you know, Shamrock actually had stuff in common with Blackman. Well, I mean, kind of. You know, Shamrock was a mixed martial artist.
Yeah, they were both no-nonsense ass kickers.
Yeah, Shamrock was a mixed martial artist. Blackman dropped 1A and was just a martial artist. You know, the second A was silent. Or the first A.
There's only one A.
First M. It's been a long day. Clintus, let's head on out to the bar.
All right, well, let's wrap it up with some final thoughts about the feud. And let's really get into what does this feud mean to history, Clintus? And just, you know, give a wrap-up about how big of a deal this thing was.
You know what? You put up mid rank like The Rock and Cell Rock. I will have to put this as number Rock feud. I'll put this as number five. That this setup would make The Rock what it was today. This sets you up for Rock and Austin, Rock versus Mick Foley, Rock versus Triple H. This feud right here, this is more like the feud that set up, allowed The Rock to show everybody what he has and what he can be going into these next few years, going into what he was later on in history, wrestling history. That's what I look at, what I see as the McKenzie Shamrock years.
Absolutely.
And Shamrock was a man, but he was also able to go over. And I think when you look at it, the whole DQ finishes now is they overplayed it with this feud. I'm sorry. Changing their mind out. They did really overplay with that.
Absolutely. All right. Eric, what are your final thoughts on the legacy of this feud?
I agree with Clint. It propelled The Rock to stardom. This was the feud that made him the star he is today and set up all the other feuds with Austin, Triple H, Rock, I mean, not Rock, but Mick Foley, Jericho, Angle, even McMahon to a point. And then Shamrock, it didn't make him a star, but he was already a star for the UFC. He was a star in a different way. So, but it's unfortunate that they didn't take advantage of that. And then he went back to the UFC and he was a legend there. So,
yeah, I mean, this is probably the greatest mid-card feud of all time. And it could easily main event in the bill. These are two guys that were arguably, one was in the prime and one was like just entering it. And these are two hungry guys that just went and entertained the crowd every time they went out. And the one thing I can say about this feud is entertaining. Every time I can always watch a match back from this feud and love it and be entertained and have a great time. So the legacy speaks for itself. And I think that these two gentlemen, you know, if there was a feud Hall of Fame, this would go in it.
Take us home, Doug.
Okay. All right, everybody get in the car.
And you can have your beer.
All right, cool. So the thing about this feud, and I love this feud because, again, you know, you guys talked about how it made Rock a star. Shamrock, you know, got his moments. He got the King of the Ring title.
Yeah. Which was still a big deal.
Okay. Then. Yeah, exactly. And Shamrock was just, he was a badass. And Rock, again, you know, like Daniel, you said it. Rock was the guy in school that aligned himself with people to protect him from getting his ass kicked. Shamrock was the guy in school that after getting picked on by said asshole, beat the shit out of all his friends, or all of the first guy's friends, and then got, you know, had a little bit left over to at least, you know, poke the other guy in the eye. Or rip off a digit. But, like, and this feud to me, I mean, yeah, you know, they probably could have, you know, Shamrock could have won the Intercontinental title and all that, but also too, they knew what they were doing with Rock. And Shamrock, I don't even think, I mean, Shamrock, you know, it was good he got the Intercontinental title when he did, but I don't think Shamrock needed the world title.
No.
If he did, he would have been on he would have been on our top 10 list that we did a couple months ago when we said the greatest superstars can never win a WWF title.
Yeah. I mean, he is up there, and I think he deserved it, but...
Although we probably missed a vote on that one.
Absolutely.
Got hit by the iceberg. But yeah, no. I mean, I love this feud. This was one of the bright spots. See, I would always flip over from WCW to watch whatever they were doing in this feud.
Yeah.
Because these two guys were both worth watching. I mean, I love Ken Shamrock. I mean, not enough to jump out of a cake naked for him on his birthday, but...
Yeah, you would.
I got paid enough.
All right, guys. this was awesome. I can't wait to do more feud retrospectives. Personally, I'd like to do John Cena and The Edge next. But
okay,
I'm down for that.
We'll do that in April.
Sounds good. This was a great time. Glenn, thanks for coming, of course. It's always great having you. Eric, you have the key to my heart. And Doug,
aww.
Can't wait to wake up next to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Clinton, thank you. Thank you. Even though you had a bad day, Clinton, we still appreciate you coming on.
You're a warrior.
Just grab yourself a bottle of liquor and just drink until you forget about what happened today.
And with all that being said, everybody have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. And we will see everybody next week.
Go Bengals.
Later.
Go Rams.
Okay, awesome.